Man, thank you. You may be seated. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Pray your day is going well and that God is blessing you in a mighty and a mighty tremendous way. If you are visiting with us today for the first time or it's been a long time since you've been able to be with us, please note in your bulletin there is a guest registration card. If you could just fill that out, drop that in the offering plate as it comes around. That'll give us a record of your attendance and also a way to be able to share a little bit more with you about us here at Central Baptist Church. We welcome you, and if there's anything we can do to give you directions or point you in the right direction, please don't hesitate to let one of us know. We'll be glad to help you in any way we possibly can. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. We're going to be talking fast today. Might be like an auctioneer because we got a lot of things going on. A lot of ground to cover. So I'm going to talk fast. Y'all just listen fast along the way as we go. But I believe with with all my heart that the Lord is trying to tell us something and that there is change in our midst in the body of Christ. I believe, as we have said many, many times before, that God has got a plan. His plan is a perfect plan. And as we look at these verses today, I want to point out a couple of things that I believe are relevant to us where we are today, simply because God doesn't ever want us to stay where we are. God never wants us to settle for mediocrity. God has always got a plan, and His plan is to move forward for His honor and for His glory. One of the things that I see more and more today is false church. I see what happens is that there are congregations that are coming together, things for all the wrong reason. There are pressures from society. It's more about, can we pay the bills? Although that is an important thing. God owns the cattle of a thousand hills, last time I checked. But we got so much compromise to the gospel that is going on across the world today. You know, we look around and we can see places that are packed to the hilt with people, and those are the places that aren't concerned about the Word of God. They're not concerned about preaching the Word of God. They're more concerned about preaching a false doctrine that says, I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right, they preach that God is a God of love, which He is. But they leave out the fact that God is also a God of judgment, and that is a very important point. You can't leave that out. You know, without the fact that a person must realize they're a sinner, they'll never realize the need for a Savior. So what happens is so many people will just gather together under the auspice of church for a feel-good session. Now, don't get me wrong. We are to love one another. We are to comfort one another. But the one thing Jesus never, ever did, He never glorified sin. And He never let people take a pass on it. Jesus always pointed that out. And that seems to be a conversation that I have to have more often today than I've ever had to have before. Well, if God's a God of love, He wouldn't do this. Well, God's not the one that put you in your predicament. You know what I'm saying? So what happened is, as we think about these things, we see this dynamic that is taking place and is going on. You see, the true church must take a path that leads us into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And that is called discipleship. That's the one thing we've been talking about for quite some time, is that the church is to evangelize and disciple. The Lord told us as He left, He said, we are to make disciples. He didn't say we're just supposed to come together and just hang out with one another, although that's fellowship and that is an important aspect. It's not about just simply coming. It is about growing in His love, about growing in His grace. And I believe with all my heart, God does have a tremendous plan. There are great days that lie ahead of us at Central Baptist Church. I promise you that. There are great days that lie ahead of you individually in your walk with the Lord. I believe this church is going to experience this type of an impact from God Almighty, and that we're going to be able to live to foresee the words that we see in John chapter 14, verse 12, when He said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to My Father. You know what? That's us. He has left us here to be able to fulfill what it is that He wants us to do. Now, this morning, I'm kind of led, like I said, you know, I'm talking fast, so you got to listen fast. Yeah, I was led to these passages in the book of Joshua this morning, specifically to look at what it is that God wants to do, and to give the church a message, to leave behind the things of the past and to be moving into the place where it is that Christ wants to be. If I was given a sales pitch today, I guess the best way that I would say it is this. If you want to be a part of what God's going to do in the last days with His people, and if you want to be used in a greater, not only a greater, but a supernatural way, if you want to be on that forefront in the battle against the forces of darkness and being able to take down the strongholds of the devil, and if you want to be used and become all you can be for God, then you're in the right place. But I'm asking you this, where do you stand? We're going to look at these passages here in Joshua in just a moment, which are familiar passages, but I think I got to give you a little bit of context about what's going to be taking place with this. Now, let me just kind of remind you before we get into them, because you're going to see the word Shittim in this particular passage. There's some things that we need to know about that, and I looked at some different commentaries and some different things about that, because this is very, very important. We need to understand what the name Shittim is. We need to understand what that is. Now, let me give you a little bit of academic stuff here. And you don't have to worry about you, because I want you to know what it is before we read it. I hadn't forgot to read it. Y'all just bear with me for a second. But I'm going to go ahead and read these definitions. The feminine noun Shittim is Shitta in Hebrew, and it refers to the acacia tree, which, by the way, if you will notice in different translations, some will say the acacia grove and some will say Shittim, okay? So it says, and this is a thorny tree that tends to grow in dry places in the Middle East. Now, that's it being used as a feminine noun. The noun occurs mostly, though, in the plural form, which is Shittim, and it was probably also taken from the Egyptian language. And this is what it says. It says what's significant about that is that the Egyptian god Horus was said to have emerged from the acacia tree. The acacia tree in Egyptian mythology was known as the tree in which life and death are enclosed. One of the characteristics of the acacia is its thorns, and it's not specifically mentioned, but Moses' burning bush and Jesus' crown of thorns may well have been woven from acacia twigs. Now, the last one I want you to understand is that there's a verb form of Shittim, and that is Seta. And in the Hebrew language, it means to turn away from righteous life toward an unrighteous one, and particularly one that involves extramarital or adulterous relationships. Do you remember what it was that God said about Israel? When it came down to Israel, God said that they were like an adulterous people, always seeking after strange gods of their neighbors. Now think about that. Now, why do I say that? Because that is where Israel was at the time. In this particular area, God has delivered them from Egypt. They went, they got to the borders of Kadesh Barnea. They were turned back into the wilderness. Shittim is actually in the wilderness, and God is getting ready to do something vast with them. God is getting ready after 40 years to move them into the promised land. Do you think that there were some people who had grown accustomed to Shittim at that point? I'd be willing to say yes. Don't we do that? It's surprising how we can become so accustomed to something that's not what God wants for us. But what happens is, even though we didn't like it to start with, even though we know that what took place was that they were always on Moses' back, they would try to kill him, they'd celebrate him. They'd try to kill him, they'd celebrate him. Now all of a sudden, you get to the point, some people probably were very comfortable in Shittim. They're like, oh man, you know what, I've gotten used to this. I done staked me out a nice place. I done put me up a nice tent here. God didn't intend for them to have a tent. He intended for them to have houses. He intended them to be in the land which flowed with milk and honey. That's where He wanted them to be. Not hanging out in the wilderness at Shittim. So now we know what had taken place. We know that Moses had the opportunity to be able to see the promised land, not to go into it. Joshua is the one who is the new leader. Joshua is preparing to be able to lead them into the promised land. Now, as we kind of step forward into this movement that God is putting in our lives, There has to be a greater depth of spiritual presence in our lives. And how do we acquire that greater depth of spiritual presence in our lives? We've got to get close to God. We got to quit hanging out at Shittim and get on to the promised land. Too many people want to hang on to Shittim. And what happens is we get to the point where we're so involved in the wilderness that we forget God intended us for the promised land. Look with me if you would. There's a couple of verses that we're going to look at. I'm going to take all three of them, because what's going to happen is we're going to understand that Joshua chapter 3 becomes a very, very important reminder to each and every one of us as we begin this journey. Look with me at Joshua chapter 3. We're going to take verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it.'" Now, at the banks of the river, just a few steps away, yeah, from going into the promised land, they stopped there one last time. They stopped there from what? See, they had already left Shittim behind. They had already come to this particular place, and their leaving Shittim behind was symbolic that they were ready to forget the past, that they were ready to go forward, that they were ready to see what it was that God had in store for them. But they get to this particular point and they paused. Now, that wasn't that saying that they were like Lot's wife looking back, turning into some sort of pillar of salt or anything. It wasn't that they were necessarily holding on to that. But what was going on was that they had left Shittim behind, and that was their show of commitment to follow Joshua as he followed the Lord. And it took 3 days while they were there to essentially contemplate and to prepare themselves for the entrance into the promised land. And they essentially were there to prepare and to pray and to work and to get their hearts and their minds ready. Because it was there right before them, and all they had to do was walk in obedience to get to it. That's all they had to do. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, "Well, what about the river? What about this? What about that?" The same thing holds true today. But what about those things? Listen, those things aren't your problem. Those things are God's problem. And last time I checked, God has a really, really interesting way of solving problems, doesn't he? He has no problem with it. And he's got that plan. So what they did was they got there and they prepared. They were preparing themselves for 3 days. And finally, the moment of truth had arrived. All the promises that they had heard for so long, the 40 years of the wilderness wanderings, what the forefathers had heard about, and now they were on the verge of stepping into the waters of the Jordan and crossing over. But there were a few things that they also needed to know before they went. Okay? Now look with me at verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 says this. It says, And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." The interesting part about this is simply what was taking place and what was going on. When we begin to think about all these things that were going on when they were stepping forward, right there, as they contemplated, as they're ready to go, this is the first thing that I want us to know and understand as we begin to leave Shittim and enter into the promised land. The first part of that message is simply this, and I want us to understand it because it is just as true today as it was back then. Here it is. You ready? When God moves, you move. When God does not move, you stand still. The last part of that's just important as the first part. The first part really seems interesting. Oh, yes, when God moves, we move. But when God doesn't move, you stand still. See, the greatest danger into going into these greater depths of the supernatural movement of what God wants to do in our hearts and lives is that we get out in front of Him. You ever got out in front of God before? If you hadn't been paying attention. Because we've done it individually, and let me tell you this, we've done it corporately as a church. You know what the problem with getting out in front of God tends to be? When you get out in front of God, the problem with that is we tend to be able to get prideful then, don't we? When we start to get out in front of God, then we start taking credit for things that God has done. God and God only has done. We start to sit back and look like, hey. And we've done it. We've done it in our... And we've done that corporately as a church. And sometimes what God has to do is He has to get our attention. See, that we don't want that danger. That is the danger of not staying behind God. Now, we know what the story is here. Most of us know what happened. You know, it was the fact that the priest had to take the ark, and the priest had to be the ones that would carry it. And by the way, remember, the ark in the Old Testament days represented and stood for the presence of God. And they were to follow it, not get out in front. In fact, they couldn't get out in front of it, could they? Not unless they were great swimmers. Now, and we also know, too, that in the steps of obedience, as the priests stepped out, it wasn't until they stepped into the water that the waters began to part. And the people, being obedient, followed the ark. Followed the presence of God. Not out in front of it. Didn't try to outrun it. They didn't say, well, those priests are moving awfully slow. Maybe we can just go on ahead of them. No. You don't get out in front of God. Lesson number one from this scripture. Lesson number one that you and I need to know as we leave Shittim for the promised land is this. We have to follow God, not be out in front of Him. We have to be behind Him. When He moves, we move. By the way, we saw this too in the pillar of cloud and fire for Israel, didn't we? It's not that hard. We just have to follow Him. Yeah, but when you follow Him, here's something you have to do. As you follow Him, you have to make sure that you've left Shittim behind. You have to be sure that you've decided that the past is going to be in the past. That we need to go into the future. Make sure that you're where you should be with the Lord, lest you be led by the wrong spirit. That's another important part. You know why? Because Satan is a really good liar. Satan's a really good actor. Satan is really good at disguise. Satan is perfect at being able to try to lead people astray, isn't he? Some of us know, because some of us have fallen trapped to that before. And you said, well, it looked like God. I thought it was God. All the while, the Holy Spirit was screaming at you. Stop! No! Don't! Remember, I always like to go back to this. Remember David in the cave? When all his guys said, man, God set this up. Saul is coming right in. You can kill him right here. Surely God must have set this up. Now we know from the scripture, God didn't set that up. David had the perfect, and all his followers were sitting there saying, you're crazy. Take this man out now. Now, if you were in David's place, let me ask you this question. How hard would it be to discern that? Listen, let me promise you that if you're not walking with the Lord, you won't discern it at all. You'll go for that one hook, line, and sinker. You'll be the David that killed Saul in the cave. Listen, God does not need our help. God knows exactly what He's doing. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be close to Him. God is leading the church, and that means God is leading you and I, because we know that essentially the brick and mortar don't make the church. The people make the church. God is the one who is leading us. And that means each and every one of us, He's got some plans. All of us, not some of us, all of us are going to be used to be a witness for Jesus. And that means there's going to be some circumstances that you've never been put in before. My question is this. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you really ready for that? Do you really want to be used by God? Do you really want to be a part of what God wants to do in these final days? Do you really want to be a part of leaving Shittim and going into the promised land? Or are you satisfied with mediocrity? You know what really blows my mind? That there are a ton of people today who are satisfied with mediocrity. Yeah, I'm okay. That's fine. You know why they're satisfied with mediocrity? Because I'm going to go ahead and say it. We have the laziest generation we've ever had in our life. They don't want to do anything. Don't want to work for anything. Now, what's happened is that's rubbed off to where it's a societal thing. It has become, society has become that way. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. Yeah, I just want to sit back. I just want to relax. Listen, let me tell you something. Leaving Chittim and going to the promised land is going to take work. It's going to take personal, sacrifice. And my question is this. Are you ready for that? And the reason I say that is because how many times have you gotten into something and you said, this ain't what I signed up for. I could take a whole lot more of not this. I could take a whole lot more of let me just relax a little bit. Let me tell you something. The Lord told us it was going to be a hard and a tedious journey. And some of us miss out. Even here, in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be leaving in a team of seven or going to a communist country. We're going to be doing this where it's illegal. They're putting their freedom and their lives on the line for the sake of the gospel, and not one single one of them has thought twice about it. Stan hadn't thought about, well, I don't think I'm going to go because of that. Stan's like, let's go! Sign me up! Love that guy. The rest of them already said, come on, let's go. By the way, guys, you realize you could get arrested for this? Yep, let's do it. You better be walking close to God when you take that step. You better be ready for it. Jeff got a taste of it last year and he signed up again. Heaven help us. Are we ready? God doesn't want us to stay at Chittim. He wants to move us into the promised land. You better get ready to move, because the time is now to let go of the past and to step into the future that God has prepared. Plain and simple. The ark is moving. Jesus is leading the way. You better get behind him and stay with him, because if not, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get left in the wilderness. You're going to be hanging out by yourself, because we're moving. Watch where God moves and go with him. You've never seen a move of God that you're about to see. I believe that with all my heart. He has been preparing us. But if you'll just follow the ark, follow God, you'll be a part of one of the greatest movements that there's ever been. The second thing I want us to see in this particular message is found in Joshua 3:5. Look at verse 5, because this is what is important. Verse 5 says this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Do you realize what that means? Sanctify yourself. Get alone in that closet. Find out what's going on in your life. Get rid of the sin in your life. Get yourself prepared before him, much like you're going to be getting prepared to sit around the Lord's table today. Get prepared for that type of thing. And it says this, why is the Lord not doing it today? Because God's people have got to sanctify themselves and get prepared and ready for it. Are we ready for it? Sanctify yourself. Just like Joshua told Israel, I'm telling you today, Central Baptist Church, the people, God's people, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow God is going to do wonders in our presence. Does that give a little chill run up your spine? I hope. It should. See, that's what the Spirit is saying to us. Sanctify yourself. This is not the time to get bogged down with the things of the world. This is not the time to be selfish in our attitudes. This is not the time to be worrying about us. This is the time to say, I am willing and ready to put it all on the line to leave Chittim to get to the promised land. And I'm going to take all my brothers and sisters with me. It's time to put aside disagreements. It is time to put aside processes. It is time to put aside programs and start following the ark one step at a time. And to do that, the first thing we have to do is we've got to get our individual mess together. Because all of us, if we're looking through the mirror of the Holy Spirit, have got a pile of mess in our lives, sanctify yourself. Throw out the trash in your life. Get rid of anything and anybody and everything and everybody that drags you down and that weighs you down, that takes up your time, that keeps you occupied, that, so that you cannot have the freedom to have a closer walk with the Lord. Boy, some of y'all are struggling today. I don't know if I can do that or not. Listen, the ark's going to move. The question is, are you going to move with it? Sanctify yourselves means that each of us must individually make that choice. That's a you and God choice. See, that isn't a corporate body choice. That's not a thing that we can just say, well, this is what we're going to do as a church. You know, it's an individual commitment. That when all of us make those individual commitments, it's joined by all the other individual commitments. And until, as a body of believers, we are committed, then we can say the church is ready. We're not ready until we do that. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, get ready. Some of you all have it in your family, probably distant family, that you're sitting there saying, well, we're going to be leaving at 4 o'clock. You come in at 4 o'clock and say, all right, let's go. And then they're like, I got to get a shower. I got to get my stuff. How many of y'all know somebody like that? How many of you will say you are that person? No hands, not a single one. Let's go. You know what the timing is. The flight's leaving. The bus is leaving. See, everybody, a lot of times other people will wait on you, but let me tell you something. The ark is not going to wait on you. God's movement is not going to wait on you, just like that flight. If you ain't there, you ain't flying. Are you ready? Are you sanctified? Throughout our personal sanctification, the Lord will be given the freedom to move in this church. Throughout our individual sanctification, the Lord will be given the right to do some incredible things in using us to see them happen. That's when it's going to change. Now here's what I want to tell you. It will happen. It will happen. It is going to pass in the lives of those who will sanctify themselves and be prepared to move out with God when the Spirit leads without fear and without compromise. That's where the church is going. And we will not get there until we sanctify ourselves individually. And that sanctification becomes something that happens corporately. And let me tell you this morning, that is the word of the Lord for Central Baptist Church. And now the choice is ours as to what we're going to do about it. Plain and simple. How about us making the commitment to sanctify ourselves, to sanctify our lives, to prepare to go, as Captain Picard said, boldly, where no man has gone before. To see new things. To push back the limits. And this is so funny because I can look out in this crowd and even see some of you like this. Some of you really like new places. You like checking out. You're adventurous. Nora, thank you, sweetie. I know. But some of you don't. Some of you don't. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to take the Noras by the hand because we love them and say, come on, sweetheart, let's go check out something new. We like familiarity. But the problem with this is that familiarity becomes our shittim. See what I'm saying? And the Lord never meant for us to hang out in shittim. He meant for us to get to the promised land. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, listen to me, Central Baptist. Musicians, go ahead and take your places real quick. Here's what he's saying. Y'all, come on. Let's go. We got to hurry. Musicians, take your place. Let's get ready for the invitation. Come on up. Yeah, I'm for real. Come on up. Yeah, come on up. Who? Come on up. Anybody playing the invitation? Come on up with us. All right, listen. God is wanting to move. The ark is getting ready to go. We need to be ready to move with it. Remember what I said? When the ark moves, we move. When the ark stands still, we've been standing still too long. You know why? Because God's had to get our attention. Because we have become wrapped up in ourselves out ahead of God. Well, let me tell you something. He's finally got our attention. He's finally got us in sight. And he said, y'all get ready. Y'all get ready. Prepare yourself. Because we're getting ready to move. This time you stay behind me. This time you move as I move. This time we're going to go into some uncharted territory. Would you come and go with me? Are you willing to do that? What are the things you need to know? First of all, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him? Is that time in your life when you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Save my soul. I need you. Are you one of his children? One of his children. He don't want his children to get left in the wilderness. He wants you to go into the promised land that he has for you. The question is, will we sanctify ourselves and be ready to move as he moves? What are the things you need to drop off at the altar today? I'm asking you to examine yourself. Lord's Supper here in just a moment as well. May this be a time of commitment for you as we go, as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn.